The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
We've been talking about three reasons that Christ came to earth. And this morning, we're going to be talking about all this whole service has been orchestrated around restoration, restoring. And you know, you saw these people come across the stage this morning with those cardboard testimonies, how God has restored their lives. That's exciting when we see that. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, came to this earth for that purpose. That's one of the reasons he came, was for restoration. Restoring. That means restoring something that was taken away. It means to regain life and vigor. How many have ever seen this show on the History Channel, American Restoration? Anybody watch that? A few of you. The whole theme of the story or the show is that Rick Dale is the owner of this shop, and all they do is restore old objects. It can be just about anything. People bring all kinds of things in, motorcycles and pop machines, and I've seen all kinds of things just come through there. And when they bring them in, they look pretty bad. They're usually in pretty bad shape. But when they leave, they look like they just came off from the assembly line. They look fantastic. He does a great job. And he's built a very successful business doing that, and now a successful TV program because people like to see that kind of thing. It's restoring something that was old, something that was falling apart. Jesus Christ came to restore. He said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He wanted to restore what has been taken away. He wanted to restore what God originally gave to mankind and was stolen by the enemy. He restored. And I've decided this morning to use the word restore instead of restoration, but I want to use the word restore as an acronym, an acrostic, explain some things that Christ did for us. Now, restoration is extremely important. And sometimes when we're separated from our families, we like to be restored to our families, don't we? Have anybody ever been separated from your family and just have a real desire to get back to them? You know that. And I have a daughter in Texas, and we are going out for Christmas to visit her. We miss them. We miss our grandchildren. We miss our daughter. We like it when we have the opportunity to go out and visit with her. We're going to be there for quite a few weeks this time. We're going to go out for about 3 weeks. It's going to be a time of resting and relaxation. We're going to see God move in this congregation. There are going to be some people step up and do some preaching and teaching here. So I just want everybody to know that God, the body of Christ, is working together here at Bethel Worship Center. I have a little story about a young lady, or about a person who went to the, was signed up for the Marine Corps. And she left her home, and she was a country person. And it says this person wrote a letter home to her mom and dad. And it says this: Dear Mom, Paul, I am well. Hope you are. Tell Brother Walt and Brother Elmer the Marine Corps beats working for Old Man Minch by a mile. Tell them to join up quick before all the places are filled. I was restless at first because you get to stay in bed till nearly 6 a.m. But I'm getting so I like to sleep late. Tell Walt and Elmer all you do before breakfast is smooth your cot and shine some things. No hogs to slop, feed to pitch, mash to mix, wood to split, fire to lay, practically nothing. Men got to shave, but it's not so bad. There's warm water. Breakfast is strong on trimmings like fruit, juice, cereal, eggs, bacon, etc., but kind of weak on crops, on chops, potatoes, ham, steak, fried eggplant, pie, and other regular food. But tell Walt and Elmer you can always sit by the two city boys that live on coffee. Their food plus yours holds you over until noon, and then you get fed again. It's no wonder these city boys can't walk much. We go on route marches, which the platoon sergeant says are long walks to harden us. Well, if he thinks so. It's not my place to tell him different. A route march is about as far as to our mailbox at home. Then the city guys get sore feet, and we all ride back in the trucks. The sergeant is like a school teacher. He nags a lot. The captain is like the school board. Majors and colonels, they just ride around and frown. They don't bother you none. This next will kill Walt and Elmer with laughing. I keep getting medals for shooting. I don't know why. The bullseye is near as big as a chipmunk head, and it don't move. And it ain't shooting at you like those Higgett boys at home. All you got to do is lie there all comfortable and hit it. You don't even load your own cartridges. They come in boxes. Then we have what they call hand-to-hand combat training. You get to wrestle with them city boys. I have to be real careful, though. They break real easy. It ain't like fighting with those old bullies at home. I'm about the best they got in this I'm about the best they've got in this hand-to-hand combat thing. There's one guy, Tug Jordan, from over in Silver City. I only beat him once. He joined up the same time as me, but I'm only 5'6 and 130 pounds, and he's 6'8, nearly 300 pounds. Be sure to tell Walt and Elmer to hurry to join before other fellers get into this setup and come stampeding in. Your loving daughter, Alice. Wow. Well, since we're most of us around here are country folk, we can identify with that, can't we? I want to talk to you this morning, beginning with, and we're going to talk about restoration, and then we're going to look at, the first word I want to talk about is reconciliation, or to reconcile. In 1 Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 through 20 says, "For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross." To reconcile is also to restore to friendship or harmony, to check. To reconcile something is to put it back in order. You know, it's also a financial term. You have to reconcile your checkbook. If you don't, you're in trouble, right? At the end of the month. You have to add it up, make sure everything is in order. It all has to come out exactly the way it's supposed to. Reconciling things is very important. Jesus Christ came, and through the blood that he shed on the cross, he reconciled us, or put us back into a relationship with our Heavenly Father. When I talk to my daughter on the phone who lives in Texas, it's nice, but it's so much better when I have a face-to-face relationship or face-to-face contact with her. It's so much nicer when we go there. And you know, when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, they were separated from that relationship that they had. Genesis tells us that God would come down and walk with them in the cool of the evening. And when they sinned, that relationship was severed. But God had a way, and he told them that, you know, that they would surely die if they did what he told them not to, and they of course sinned and did exactly what he told them not to do. And blood had to be shed in order for them to have their sins not taken away at that time, but covered. So God himself took animals, slew those animals and put skins on Adam and Eve. That was the first blood sacrifice that was necessary. And from there on out, blood sacrifice was always necessary for the relationship of man with God. But Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, came to this earth and was the ultimate sacrifice for each and every one of us. No longer were our sins just covered, but through His blood, our sins were completely wiped away. Now, if you know anything about blood, you get blood on something, it's pretty hard to get out, isn't it? It doesn't cleanse things. It makes stains. But that blood of Jesus didn't just cover those sins. It wiped them out totally and completely. Thank God for His power. Thank God for that Lamb of God that came to take away the sins of the world. He did that for us. And that's what reconciles us to Almighty God. Today, because of Jesus Christ's death, when He was hanging on the cross and he had just passed away, there was a great earthquake and the veil in the temple was rent down the middle. It was completely torn. That gave human beings access to the Holy of Holies, face-to-face access to God. Because of that blood, we are reconciled to Almighty God this very day. In the New Testament, one of the words for peace means to reconcile or join together. And there was a group of missionaries down in South America that was trying to translate the Word of God and explain to this certain group of natives what peace meant and the peace with God. And they studied and they tried to figure it out. And finally, one of the translators hit on a phrase that would help the natives understand. And it's this phrase, a heart that sets down. To them, a heart that sets down is at peace. They were able to explain to them that when you receive Christ and you understand the blood of Jesus Christ, how it cleanses you, your heart sets down in peace. Reconcile. That's what God did for us. He reconciled us to the Father. He also not only reconciled us, but He established us. And Jesus came to establish. Romans 9:28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. For is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not only also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Since there is one God who justifies the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then make void a law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. Jesus established the law by fulfilling the law. Lots of people think that Jesus did away with the law. That wasn't His purpose, and He made that perfectly clear. He said, I came to complete the law, to fulfill it, not to do away with it. Now, that doesn't mean that we have to sacrifice animals or go through the ritualistic laws that the Jewish people have gone through in the past, and many of them try to go through today. It means that we abide by the heart of the law and the understanding of the law. He didn't do away with the Ten Commandments. Surely not. We've had public officials say in the past, if we're going to use the Bible for our moral code, what scripture should we use? And they cite things like you stone a child when he does wrong, or the Sermon on the Mount. And then they say things like, how in the world could you live by those things? Well, let me tell you what code God expects us to live by. The moral code that is established by those Ten Commandments. Jesus said, all the law and the prophets are fulfilled in two things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. It's complete in love. Jesus came to establish that love code in the world. The Greek word here that is establish, we establish the law, is histemi, to cause, to make, to stand, to place, put, to make fix, to make firm. We derive our English word histamine from this Greek word, and histamine is known to, it's a bonding agent, and it's in the human body. It's known to be involved in 23 different physiological functions, everything from wake to sleep to digestion. It's a powerful molecule. It's something that we use every day of our life. It binds things together in order for our body to function properly. Some of you have probably taken antihistamines before that blocks their ability to bind. If you have allergies, it's that thing that you're allergic to binds to the histamine that causes you to have those symptoms. The histamines are powerful agents. And this word here is very important for us to understand because it's talking about the fact that Jesus Christ came to establish or bind the fulfillment of the law for us today. He accomplished it. So he came to reconcile, he came to establish, and he came to suffer. I think everybody understands that Jesus came to this earth to suffer. In Luke chapter 9, verse 18, verse 22, it says, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised from the third day." You know, Jesus told his disciples over and over that he was going to suffer and die, and they just did not want to hear it. They wanted him to come. They wanted him to set up his kingdom. They wanted him to defeat the Romans and rule forever and ever. And eventually he's going to do that. He's going to come and defeat this world system and put it completely under his feet. But until then, we are his agents in this earth. We are his ambassadors. An ambassador is an agent of a country, of a kingdom. And we are agents of the kingdom of God in this earth. It's our responsibility to go about doing good and accomplishing the things that Jesus Christ would accomplish when he walked in this earth. He said, "The things that I do, you'll do even greater." Can we do that? I think we have to be about the kingdom business. Jesus suffered. And I want to tell you something. There are people in the body of Christ suffering today. All over the world. According to Open Door Ministry, throughout the world, right now, over 100 million Christians are suffering for the name of Jesus. It'd be nice if that wasn't happening. It'd be wonderful if we could put a stop to it. But I want you to understand something. Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. This world system's going to hate us. Does that mean that we're all going to suffer? No, but suffering is just a part of Christianity. It's happening. This is not a popular message. I know we all want to hear Joel Osteen say, "Have a wonderful day. This is a wonderful life. Everything's going to be good. Everything bed of roses." But it's not always that way. There is some suffering that takes place. Believers have to come to the realization that not everything's always going to be great and wonderful. Yet we have a Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we can put our faith in. Amen. And trust Him. He did say that we were to have life in heaven more abundantly. abundance, superfluous, more than enough. Abundance to share with other people. The kind of life that shows people that Jesus Christ is truly on the throne. God didn't insulate Jesus from the suffering that he went through. He felt real pain when he was on the cross. He felt the rejection. He felt the ridicule. And yet, he was determined to go through the cross for us. Jesus promised he'd never leave us, and he'd never forsake us throughout this life. In the Old Testament, Job said, "Though he slay me, yet will I hope in him." And you know, you think about the three Hebrew boys and young men, weren't actually boys, they were young men, who was thrown into the fiery furnace by Nebuchadnezzar. How their testimony was this. They said, "Our God is able to deliver us, but even if he doesn't, we will not bow." That's the kind of testimony we've got to have as believers. No matter what comes our way, I'm not going to bow. Lord, I trust you. I'm going to put my faith in you. I believe. I'm going to continue to believe you're a healer. I'm going to continue to believe you're a deliverer. I'm going to continue to believe that you set your people free. In 1958, there was a group of missionaries who set out in Ecuador to reach a group of people that merely called themselves the people. And they were fierce natives. Everyone around that area in Ecuador feared them. And they were secluded in the jungle, dense rainforest. These people were led by Nate Saint and Jim Elliott. One of the things they did was they flew over in a plane and dropped supplies to these natives, hoping that they would recognize that they were friends. And then Jim Elliott, Nate Saint, and three other men landed on a beach close to their village. That night they set up camp, and early in the morning sometime, the natives came in and killed all five of those men. It was a tragedy. These men gave their life. Now, they knew exactly what they were doing. They realized that their lives were in danger. However, they felt that what they were doing was worth the risk. They were sharing the gospel with a group of people that never heard it. 3 years later, after those men lost their life, Nate Saint, Jim Elliott's wife, and the families of those men eventually were able to get into that village. Within 9 years of that time, every member of that village had received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. There's some suffering, some sacrifice to be made in the body of Christ. But it's worth it. It's worth it. Tertullian said 1,800 years earlier, "The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church." We got to count the cost. Are we willing to sacrifice our life for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? It's something we need to wrestle with. I believe he wants you to prosper. I believe he wants you to have good things. I believe he wants you to enjoy life. But you really need to think about that. Would you give up your life for Christ? I'm going to reconcile. Jesus came to reconcile. He came to establish. He came to that he would suffer, and yes, suffering in the body of Christ. He came to tear down. 1 John 3:8, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. This is a good part. We get to talk about the works of the devil being destroyed or torn down. Another word for torn down is destroyed. To loose any person or thing, tied or fastened. In Acts 10:38, it says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Jesus touched everyone that was oppressed of the devil. Now, if you hear that God is using sickness to teach somebody a lesson, you don't know what the Word of God says. It says right there, I just read it, that those who are oppressed, sick and oppressed, are oppressed of the devil, not of Jesus Christ. I will tell you, all sickness, all disease, all evil is either directly or indirectly caused by the enemy. He brought it about. It's why we are here as believers in Jesus Christ, to stand against what the enemy wants to bring in the lives of people. Praying for sick, praying for those who are bound, praying and believing and trusting God, living our lives in such a way that others will see the glory of God and know that we truly love and serve the living God. Our lives are to be examples as ambassadors. Oppressed of the devil. You know, I was reading a little bit of history, and I was reading about the Spanish explorer Cortez, and it was in the 1500s sometime, 1519 or 1520, something like that. He sailed and landed in Mexico, and he knew exactly what he was doing. He came to conquer and to overcome the Aztecs. He came for gold. He was greedy. But other expeditions had tried to do this before, and they failed. And as he was sailing to Mexico, he had decided that he was going to do something, that there wasn't going to be any turning back. Because in the past, the expeditions that went to Mexico would just give up and go back to Spain. But he had decided that he wasn't going to allow that to happen. And the way he was going to keep his men from getting back on that ship and going back to Spain was, as soon as they landed, he set fire to all his ships. Within 2 years, they had completely conquered the Aztecs. When you don't have any choice, you go forward. Believers, you really don't have any choice. You don't want to go back, do you? No. Only a dog returns to his vomit. That's what the Word of God says. We don't want to go back there. Thank God for the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. Thank God for the power that is given to us. Thank God that we can move forward and not backward. You don't have a choice. You're going to move forward. You're going to accomplish the things that God has called you to accomplish. This church is going to accomplish. This community is going to accomplish God's will. As believers in Jesus Christ, you're not going back. We're burning all our bridges. We put a stop to all things. We're moving forward. In Jesus' name, there's no turning back. Amen. We've reconciled, we established, Jesus reconciled, Jesus established, Jesus suffered, Jesus tore down, and Jesus obeyed. John 8:28, then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, that you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. In 1 Peter 4:17, for the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, What will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel? Jesus came to obey, and he expects us to obey. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He wants us to learn to obey and listen to the Father. Listen, we are strong and independent people, particularly in this area. We pride ourselves on independence. But when it comes to the gospel, when it comes to serving God, you can't be independent. You have to put your trust in the living God. And not only in the living God, but you got to trust your brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. We don't have a lot of that in our area. We need to form alliance with each other and covenant. The understanding of covenant needs to be made clear in the body of Christ so that we recognize that covenant is for life and it's not to be broken. That's why we can preach this in regards to marriage. Marriage is a covenant. God does not intend it to be broken. Well, I'm not trying to condemn anybody who has gone through a divorce. Circumstance, things happen. But God intends for marriage to be a covenant that is never broken. We're to stand in it, complete it. Obey. Reconcile, establish, suffer, tear down, obey, and redeem. Redeem, Jesus came to redeem us. He came to buy us back. Titus 2, 13 and 14. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Redeem means to liberate by payment or ransom. You know, this is an important process that took place in the Old Testament. There was an ability to be able to redeem certain animals. In fact, it was necessary. God required in the Old Testament every firstborn animal that was of clean animals, and he specified what was clean and what wasn't, had to be sacrificed. The male had to be sacrificed to Almighty God. All the unclean animals could either be brought to the priest, and the priest would put a price on it, and then that price would be given to the priest, or they could redeem it also with a clean animal. But regardless of how they did it, those animals all had to be redeemed. There had to be redemption. This is a picture of what we have in the body of Christ through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There is a process called the Kinsman Redeemer. If you've ever read the book of Ruth, you understand what happened with the Kinsman Redeemer. Naomi left her property in Israel, and she went to another country. While she was there, her sons married Gentile wives. When they came back, she had no choice. She had to come back. And when she came back, she had nothing. However, in the principle of the law of the kinsman redeemer, the closest relative to that person can redeem the property on behalf of the individual who sold it and left. Boaz was the closest relative to Naomi. Boaz was a godly man. Boaz chose not only to redeem the property, but also to marry Naomi's daughter-in-law, Ruth. Boaz was a type and example of Jesus Christ, who not only redeemed the Jew, but he also redeemed the Gentile. And Boaz was David's great-grandfather, who eventually became the relative or the descendant of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's interesting how God just weaves it all together for us to understand these things. Now, here's something that happened. Remember the kinsman redeemer. Remember the law of redeeming. Leviticus 25, verse 25 says, if thy brother be waxed poor and hath sold away any some of his possession, if any of his kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem that which his brother sold. That's the principle that I was talking about. In the New Testament, after Jesus has had the Passover meal with his disciples, and Judas has made a choice to go turn Jesus over to the priests in the Sanhedrin. Prior to that, in Matthew 26, Judas has gone to the priests and he said, what will you give me if I betray him, if I turn him over to you? And they said, well, we'll give you this many silver coins. I think it was 30. And he said, okay, I'll do it. Now, here's what I want you to see in this. The priest set the price, and the price was given for the Passover lamb. In Matthew 27, Judas understood that he had done wrong, and he took the money back to the priests, and he threw it at their feet. They refused to receive it. This is all part of the fulfillment of the Jewish law. The price was redeemed. The price was set. The price was brought back to the priests, and the priests rejected it. Therefore, the Lamb of God had to be sacrificed in the place of not only the Jews, but also the Gentiles. Those of us who always have needed to be redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. It's awesome to think how God, so many hundreds and thousands of years ago, established all this from the foundation of the world. And it's all been put into place for us. And today we can recognize that God's law is being fulfilled through the Lord Jesus Christ. He redeemed us by the blood of the Lamb. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a pastor, a theologian, who lived in Nazi Germany. He spoke out about the Nazis. As a result, he was arrested, he was imprisoned, and then executed just hours before the Allies liberated the concentration camp. And he was faithful to the very end. Although he wasn't rescued from his oppressors, he was redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And he said this, and we need to listen to his words, because he was talking about Christmas and the celebration of Christmas. He said, it is not a light thing to God that we celebrate Christmas and do not take it seriously. In this time of the year, a man who sacrificed his life for Jesus Christ and for others made it very clear to us that this time of year is extremely important for us to recognize what Jesus Christ has done for us. Let's not take it lightly. Let's not just think it's about the gifts and the giving, and it's wonderful to have family time, but there is so much more to this. Jesus Christ gave his life for us. He reconciled, he established, he suffered, he tore down, destroyed, he obeyed, he redeemed. And the last thing I want to share with you this morning is he exchanged. He exchanged righteousness for unrighteousness. Isaiah 46:6 says, "But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Our righteousness, our works, are all as filthy rags. They're nothing, and they will accomplish nothing. But we recognize in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Not because of our works, but because of the power that was in that blood of Jesus when he hung there for us. He exchanged his righteousness for our filthy rags of works and the best righteousness we can give, and it's nothing. But he gave us his righteousness. He gave it all for us. Jesus' desire for all of us is for us to recognize that he not only reconciled, he established, he did suffer so that we could be free. He tore down the strongholds of the enemy. He did it in obedience to his Father. He did it all to redeem us as he exchanged our filthy rags for his righteousness. Stand with me. Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope this message has touched you in some way. Our purpose and desire for these podcasts is to edify believers and share the good news of salvation in Christ. If you'd like to receive Christ as your Savior today, look up Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It makes it very simple. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you'd like more information on salvation, visit our website at bethelwc.org. We have a section that explains it in more detail. If you confess Christ for the first time today, welcome to the family, and we would love to hear from you. Be blessed.